You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
It's time for episode 433 of Geekiest Show Ever. Finally. I hate FaceTime for recording, but we have to since Skype will be no more.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. But is it really FaceTime that you hate? I mean, that could be displacement.
No.
FaceTime's fine.
I like FaceTime as far as talking to people, but for recording, it's pain in the tush.
Yeah, but like I said, it might not be FaceTime. It sounds to me like it's more like an audio hijack issue.
I don't know. I think it's FaceTime. But we don't have a whole lot of choice with Skype being sundown.
Yeah. Yeah, because everything else, they charge you, they give you a limit, and that's it. Whereas Skype has been unlimited for all these years.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been wanting to go to FaceTime anyway, so. Raspberries.
So, tell me about setup.
Yeah, let's talk about setup. We haven't talked about setup for a little while. And just today, I love getting the little notifications because that means there's something new in that little bell there. And so I got really excited when I saw the new app that just came in recently. But first, before I tell you about that, I wanted to tell you that, or share with our listeners too, that this past week, I've told listeners before, I'm a member of our local Tucson Macintosh users group, otherwise known as TMUG. And we're getting more members from out of town. We're getting a lot of more out of townies. So that's cool. Yeah. So I will have a link in the show notes to the latest video that they have on YouTube. So I'd encourage our listeners to go and check that out and subscribe to the channel because we're trying to Pokemon Go it and collect them all. But this video that's been uploaded recently was our monthly meeting, and one of the big topics of our meeting was setup. And so several of us are setup users, and we each shared 3 to 5. I cheated and shared 5 because originally we picked out 5, but we all shared at least 3 of our favorite setup apps. And so I personally talked about Typeface, Permute, Calendars, Clean My Mac, and Bartender. Those were the apps that I talked about. The calendars discussion, I personally was embarrassing because I've been using calendars for so long. It's made by Riedel, that I kept calling it Calendars 5. It was just stuck in my brain because that's the app that I've been using for years and years and years. And then they, I don't know what you want to call it, they sunsetted or whatever you want to be, retired Calendars 5, and now it's just called Calendars with an S on the end of it. So not to be confused with Calendar, the singular form, which is the native macOS calendar app. So it's really difficult to get your brain and your mouth to cooperate, to make the words come out of your face, your pie hole, to discuss these apps sometimes because of the way that they're named, which I get it. They're trying to be creative. They're trying to set themselves apart from the native apps or any other apps in any other app stores. But it does get difficult trying to word it. Anyway, so yeah, I shared about those. And then the other members of the group shared different apps that they like. And so it was a really fun show and tell discussion. So I encourage people to go check that out. And I will have a link to that in the show notes. And so as I've mentioned before, I'm a setup affiliate. So I also have a show notes link for you that if you click my affiliate link and you want to try out setup, if you've been curious about it all this time and you want to trial it, typically I think you only get like a week or two. I think it's 2 weeks. But with my link, you'll actually get a whole month. So there's just so many apps on there. 2 weeks just isn't enough. So I would say go check it out for a month and see what you think about it. So I will have my link in there. And then the app that I got really excited about is called Invoice Rex. And it looks to be made by the same developer that makes Permute, which is a is a type of a download app for downloading video that I discussed on the TMUG monthly meeting Zoom call. And so I just saw it announced. I, like you said, you saw it too and got excited for me at least. So thank you for thinking of me. But it was, it must have just come on to set up within the last couple of days or a week or something, because there's not really any reviews yet, but it looks really fantastic. I mean, it's kind of it's about invoicing and, well, I mean, it says it in the name, it's called Invoice Rex. So I'll have a link to the developer's website. And they are a part of SetUp, and they have both the Mac version and the iOS version. So that's always a treat when they have both versions. That's a trend that kind of concerns me a little bit. You and I were talking about the app called Due, D-U-E. I did install the Mac version, but you have to go and buy the iOS version. So I'm not quite sure why they sometimes only have one of the platform versions and not the other. Not quite sure about that, but I'm thinking about getting the iOS version. So I just have to evaluate this a little bit longer and then make a decision. But yeah, so
I love
Invoice Rex. Yeah, I know you do. You're the one that's
I've talked about it before. I mean, it does so much more than I actually use it for. I just need it to the for the kick me in the butt. Hey, you got to pay that bill. You got to pay that bill. Don't forget you got to pay that bill. So that's what I use it for.
Well, and I use reminders for that. But the problem with reminders is it's very limited as to the amount of time that you can snooze it for. And so I need something that's more than just an hour this afternoon. You know, I need something like, no, I really just need 15 more minutes and then I'll do it. I promise. You know, with ADHD, I need extra reminders. I just need that little bit of extra kick in the butt, like you said. So yeah, so I'm thinking about doing that. I have it set up on my Mac, and I'm going to test it out some more. But then this Invoice Rex came along, and that has what looks like some, you know, time tracking or something component to it. So I don't know. That just looks very interesting to me. I've been looking for some kind of an invoicing app for quite a while. So I'm excited to check that out, and then I'll talk about it on a future episode. So that was my little setup thing. You said that you want to mention some of the apps that you've been using regularly. What's your list?
I use CleanShot X, which is to capture screenshots. And I'd use that normally if I want to do a scrolling screenshot. Mm-hmm. So I use that, clean my Mac. Solver, which is to do math up in your menu bar, which is nice. Paste, you should look at Paste for the iPhone. Do you use Paste?
I don't yet. I've seen it listed and it's on my little heart favorites list of something to check out. But what do you like about it?
I like it because every time you do a copy on your Mac, it automatically syncs to Paste.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, when you're on your phone, you can look back and say, I needed to paste that link. You know, I meant to send Elisa that link.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back from yesterday and find it and then just click on it and put it in a text and send it over.
There's been a couple of instances lately. I just got my taxes done where I wanted to paste something or if I typed up something. I mean, I'm pretty good about, I've been burnt enough times over the years to have developed the habit of like, okay, this comment that I'm about to post have gotten a little wordy, it's gotten a little long, and you know I don't want to lose it. So as I'm typing, I'm constantly highlighting and copying. But there's been a few times where I thought I know it's been happening lately. I go and I copy something, and I think I know I copied it, but then I go to paste it somewhere. And then what ends up happening is, you know, because I'm tired or, you know, I'm exhausted from staying up late doing taxes or something. And it happens to us all, but I go to paste it, and instead of on the keyboard pressing Command V to paste, I accidentally, because it's the next letter over on the keyboard, I accidentally press Command C again. And what does that do? Copies nothing. Because when you go to paste, there's nothing that gets pasted because you just copied like something blank. Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever done that, but
well, that's why I like it on the phone.
Yes, yes.
Because as you know, you don't have a keyboard, you know, you don't have a copy and paste manager on the phone. Like the last thing you copy and copied, it overrides what was there before. So if you need, if you know that you're doing something where you need to reference back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you've got paste.
So it's a clipboard manager, I take it?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be checking that out.
Yep. So I use that. I use forecast bar. So I've got this little, you know, in my menu bar, I can look and say, oh, look, right now it's sunny and 45 degrees.
I do have that one.
It's cold and it's super windy and it's going to be cold all next week because it's only spring. So actually I'm looking through, oh, wow, it's going to stink the next 10 days. I'm looking at it right now like, oh, are we in May yet?
Yep. Not going to tell you what my weather is then.
Yeah. And that's then, of course, we talked about dew, and I've got Tripsy, which Tripsy is nice, but it's also something where if they got rid of it, I wouldn't cry over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more for...
It's nice to have.
Yeah, but it's not all that important. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I need to travel more. I really like the interface, and I think it's beautiful and really helpful.
Yeah. I am putting my trips in, though. Oh, March and April, we're not going anywhere.
Oh no!
Oh, the humanity!
you're gonna be jonesing.
Yeah, I keep saying, why don't we go here? And I just get the evil eyeball. I'm like, fine, we'll wait until May. So
how many pairs of socks is that going to produce now?
that'll be our road trip in May. I already have the yarn set up for it. Got the sock, you know, to knit in the car. And
did you get your last few skeins that you got? Didn't you order some from here in Arizona and they took forever to get to you?
Oh, those socks are... Am I wearing those today? Nope, I'm wearing a different pair. I wore those earlier in the week, yes. Those have been knit. Those were done.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. Cool. And then what else do I have here? Bartender.
We love Bartender. Can't live without Bartender.
Now, I have a peeve about this one. News Explorer, which is an RSS reader. It's an RSS reader, and I didn't have that much. I had like 9to5 Mac and Mac Rumors and Tidbits, you know, just a knitting one, a couple of them. And then I think it was when we came home from our cruise in February. I saw there was an update, so I updated it, and it wiped out all my feeds.
Holy crap.
And I'm looking at the... Because it went from version 2 to version 3, I believe it was.
Uh-oh.
And I ended up going into a time machine backup, and I'm going through all these different folders. I'm looking through library and application support, and I finally found the feeds. And then when I went to open, it would open News Explorer in the new app, and all the feeds were gone again. So I had to write them down, try to find them, load them in, so...
There was no backup?
No. I mean, I could have had iCloud syncing, but that was something I didn't. But if I had known, I just would have exported the OPML.
RSS. Yeah, right. Yep. Exactly.
I could have just exported that and then re-imported it in. Mm. So that annoyed me.
What about your Tripsy content? Is there a way to export that into something in case you would lose it? Do you have it synced to iCloud?
There is syncing. Let me see. Let me open up Tripsy on my phone.
Because
again, if I lose it, I don't care.
See, I'd want to keep all of that data.
Okay, so there is. Oh, thank you for subscribing. You're welcome. Okay, so let's look under my settings. Add reservation calendar. Okay, that's automation. Customize help center. About Tripsy, storage and data. Okay, that doesn't tell me anything. Okay, there is a way to export all data.
Mm-hmm.
So if I click export all data, it does a zip file.
That's cool.
11 megabytes, and then it comes up the sharing sheet. So I can copy and save it to files, add it to... documents, I can text it to you, I can add it to notes.
Except for somebody like on an Android or somebody who's just not using Tripsy, I guess.
Just trying to see notifications, widgets, language, storage.
Oh, there's something on their website that says import from Tripcase. We're excited to announce that we've just released a Tripcase importer.
Oh, Trippet Sink. Oh, that's Trippet. Okay. Tripcase and Porter. Yep, that's here. Tripcase will sunset on April 1st, 2025. So, yes, oh, you just put it in.
That's right. You can import from Trippet, too.
Yeah. So, for if you're anyone who uses Tripcase, it just has put your name, your email, and your password in, and it will import everything. It says this is a one-way request to import all your Tripcase data into your Tripsy account. Once you import, it might take a few minutes before everything shows up. You'll receive a notification with the final import summary.
That's cool. Okay, what else was on your list? You had
I have iStat menus, but I still don't know how to use iStat menus. I might just delete that.
I don't know if it's something you really use. You just kind of put it on and look at it. I haven't installed it yet.
But I don't know what I'm looking at, to be honest. Okay. So that's why I'm like, I might just get rid of it. And yep, Downy every now and then. If I have to download a YouTube video, I use Downy. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I mean, there's some stuff that looks interesting, but I don't need, like, I don't need invoicing. I don't need, yeah. There's just certain things that look interesting, but I don't need. And there's certain things I can't stand, like mind maps. I know people love mind maps.
I love mind maps.
I can't stand them.
But I also like spreadsheets, too, so.
But I mean, it's nice. Person. It's nice that a mind map is there for people who want them. They have all different kinds of documents. They have Craft and Bear and a bunch of the Ulysses.
Oh yeah, yeah, writing apps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the writing apps.
Yeah, it's just it keeps going. They keep adding new stuff all the time. So, that's why I get excited when that little bell has a little number on it, something to go check out. Yeah. So I just wanted to plug Setup again because it's a really cool service and we're really enjoying it. So. Thank you, Setup, for the review, and we are having a good time with it. I'm looking forward to more apps, and I'm really looking forward to trying out this new Invoice Rex.
Yeah. Okay, so now for the main event. Tell me about your Apple Vision Pro demo music dance experience.
Well, so we should talk a little bit about why we're calling it that, and we'll briefly discuss our love-hate relationship with Severance. So we are
your
all
love my hate.
Yes, yes. I like it. You don't like it, and that's what makes it interesting, right? So, we are both caught up on the same place. And so the last season finale episode just dropped late last night. So it's available on our Apple TVs right now. So we have not seen it yet.
No, but I will be watching it tonight.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to watch it tonight too. That's our plan. So what don't you like about Severance? Like everything?
Yeah, that about covers it. I didn't like it last season.
Yeah,
but it had an interesting ending.
Okay,
last season I said, okay, I'll watch it.
Oh, okay, so that's what hooked you in.
But what I'm not understanding, and I don't think this is a spoiler, I'm not understanding what is her name, Hetty and Helena.
Uh huh.
Helly and Helena.
Right, Helly and Helena. Yeah.
Do they know the other exists?
Yeah, they do now.
I'm just like totally.
Yeah, I shouldn't say much more.
Yeah,
but they do.
I don't want to do spoilers for people who are still watching.
Right.
But it's just like who knows the other one exists, and
I wonder if it. So let me ask you this: I wonder if it doesn't appeal to you too much. Did you ever have the type of job where you worked for a corporation? Like, have you ever worked in a cubicle farm? Have you ever worked for, because that could be why it doesn't appeal to you quite as much. Because I think that people who have worked in industry for, you know, working for the man, if you've worked in, like for example, okay, did you ever watch the movie, the really funny comedy Office Space? And did you like that?
No.
You haven't seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. No, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also... On this, like a sci-fi thing. I don't like sci-fi. I don't do Star Wars. I don't do Star Trek.
Yeah.
I don't like any of that stuff. And I don't like, like I've seen these kinds of movies. What was it called? Oh, shoot. I can see it in my head. It's
a movie or a TV show?
It's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. I got to look it up.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean. It's not the Bourne Effect. It's other identity. It's something about identity.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio. Inception.
Inception. Okay. Yeah.
Where it's like, Tom and I just watched that and just basically said WTF.
I think that's what it is. I think that could be what it is. I mean, there might just be this appeal for, and I do wonder. That'd be a really good question for people who are maybe gig workers and have not experienced corporate culture. That's what I think it boils down to. I think it is when you have worked in industry where you experience corporate culture, you know, the sharing of a refrigerator, the, you know, cubicle farms, office supplies, all of the politics, all of the cliques, the groups, the stuff that goes on in a culture where you all have to report to the same place and you got to do the same job every day and it gets kind of boring and you just feel like you're, you know, just like a worker, like you're just a worker, you're just a number. You're not really, that's why what happens. And I will say my experiences in that, which I've had a few, I will say that I have lifelong friends from it. I am friends with coworkers that I've worked with like 20, 30 years ago, you know, and it's just one of those things where I think it's a survival because you're all there because you have to be there and you all got to clock in and everybody has a very similar experience and, you know, it gets kind of mundane. I worked at one place that was, when I first moved out here, it was a temp job that I had and I worked for, and I'm not going to say the name of who it was, but I worked for a garage door manufacturer. And the company, I mean, the plant where I worked was, you know, really nice and clean. And everybody, the people were wonderful. But the job was so boring. My job at the time was typesetting annuals. I mean, it was just like, that was the hardest part of the job. I swear. That was the hardest part of the job, was just trying to stay awake. It was such a boring job that, I mean, I, of course, was grateful to have a job and paid pretty decently. And I was good at my job, so much to the point where when my temp, like it was a temporary assignment type of a job. And when my assignment was over, I had already picked up like a permanent job, you know, because that was the whole deal. Like I just needed something temporarily to, you know, pay the bills while I was looking for a permanent job. And at the time when my temporary contract was up, my manager at the time, she wanted to hire me full time. Like she wanted to convert me from a temporary employee to a full time employee. And, you know, the other job was going to pay a little bit better anyway, but I really like had to say no. And we all kind of laughed about it. Like I was like, I just couldn't handle the boredom. I just couldn't handle it. And so because of that, like you're in a cubicle and you end up just like to survive, you form these relationships with these other people and, you know, you form friendships or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And so, I don't know, I think that that's something to be said for that, for the experience of it that I can personally relate to. But then again, I mean, my husband's a school teacher and he's never had that experience. He's never had the experience of working in a cubicle farm, like in Severance. I mean, the people are working at their little cubicles where, you know, they can see each other, but they can raise and lower their walls. And I thought, man, that would have been pretty cool. but he hasn't had that experience. But there's something to be said for, you know, having to report to a place where it's a constant grind, where you have to, you know, maybe you dread it or you're there, not against your will, but you do. I mean, you do have to somehow, like, in order to survive, in order to, like, not go insane, you do have to somehow find a way to separate yourself emotionally. Like you can't do it physically because you're there, but you have to somehow kind of like make it fun or make it interesting. It's like you have to hack your brain. So I think that's what the appeal is with Severance. But then the things that, and I've always said this too, like I really enjoy this type of TV show. Like I'm with you. There's a lot of times where like one of the characters, Harmony Cobell, her character, not the actress, but her character is very dramatic and almost to the point where I think it's like too much drama. I was actually thinking about this earlier today. I was like, there's something that just doesn't sit right with me with her character. It just seems like it's so drawn out and for what? But then the more I thought about it, I thought it's on purpose. It's designed in such a way to make you feel so uncomfortable. Like, oh my goodness, woman, will you just spit it out? Why? Like, this is how she talks. Like, why do you have to talk like this? You know, it's like very, it's just very deliberate. And I don't know, there's some about it. But
well, you've got Milchek too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They all have these personalities and they all, it's, that's what it is. It's like a, it's a corporate culture cadence. Like that's the purpose of it. It's to show you that she talks that way because she's been indoctrinated somehow. It's a style of speaking that they all have because it's a cult. And that's the thing about it. I mean, that's also, I think, the appeal. That could be why, I just thought of that now, actually. Ding. That could be why it is so popular. I mean, it is, I don't know if you heard this, but it has been more popular than Ted Lasso. And Ted Lasso was really popular. But that's the parallel that I've been drawing that makes me scratch my head. I mean, I get it, but it's hard to put into words. Like, you know, with the stuff that's been going on with politics and stress and everything, it seemed like, and you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, Ted Lasso was the most popular show at the time. And I think it's because it was such a good chicken soup for the soul type of show.
But it was also a show you could follow. Severance, I stopped paying full attention. Mm-hmm. It's hard to follow and say, wait a minute. What did that have mm-hmm. to do with that over there? Like mm-hmm. the episode, and again, I'm not giving away a spoiler, with mm-hmm. the goats.
Yeah.
I'm like, what
yeah,
does
that's not
this
giving
have
a spoiler.
Do?
Everybody's like, what's up with
what
the goats?
Does that have to do with anything? I kept waiting for something to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. that is a big gotcha right there. I'm like, what the hell? What is with the goats? I'm waiting. So that, if anything, I'm really just watching it tonight to find out why the goats. Will you please like tighten up that hole there for me? What is up with the goats? Explain the goats, please. So, yeah, so I hear you. I agree. I totally agree with that. I think that I'm able to still enjoy it and surpass it because for me, I particularly like things that have a cult following. You know, it's a show about a cult, really, right? I mean, it focuses on cult behavior and a cultish type of these cultish practices within an industry, within work, and that a lot of us who have experienced that feel like, well, you have to, like, you know, you have to step to the corporate culture. I mean, I just think that it parallels so much of what is going on today in our world. I can draw parallels from it there. And then there's this mystery around it that, you know, what about the goats? You want to try to find out why goats? So there's that, you know, there's like, what are people thinking? Like, even in our current political sphere today, it's like, what were you thinking? Why are you so obsessed with goats? Please, this is not, you know, this doesn't make any sense. But then again, that's the world that we're living in. Things don't make any sense. We feel like whether, you know, and this is true for whatever side you're on, I've heard it from both sides, that we live in an upside down world and things don't make sense. And we do feel very severed. I mean, we're very divided as a country right now, just speaking, you know, from our perspective, we're very divided. We're very severed. We're very severed from what it feels like was our reality at one point in time. So there's that mysterious parallel that's to be drawn. That could be what's appealing to people, is the idea of the examination of cults and cult behavior and severance in the idea of being severed, being separated, being divided, you know, as a people. You feel divided from your reality, you feel divided from your family, your friends, like things just feel very divided. Things feel very severed. So that could be another appeal, another attraction to it. And then there's all the psychological stuff that they do. And then this is the part that I love the most. It's just from the artistic perspective, it's incredibly well produced and incredibly well acted and incredibly well designed. And it's got all of that stuff going for it. So I'll have in the show notes, my favorite thing to watch then after is the New Rock Stars is a YouTube channel. And, if you don't like people who talk fast, then this wouldn't be for you, or you would have to use the tools in the YouTube, section for, you know, speed and try to slow it down. But I actually enjoy it because there's so much to cover and he goes really, really fast. You would probably like it. Have you tried watching any of the videos that I sent you?
No, I don't like the show enough to make to okay. me, you know, yeah. to take the time to watch.
Well, see, and that's the thing that I like about it is that it has a cult following, just like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And I didn't watch it, but The Office, I know I did. Lost, I didn't watch that, but that had a cult following. I tend to enjoy shows that have a cult following just for that, because I don't work in an industry anymore where there's a water cooler. And I kind of miss that, like having something else to talk about that's not politics, that's not healthcare, that's not like the world burning around us. It's just a nice escapism for the sake of escaping. So I kind of miss that because I'm, you know, a sole proprietor. So I don't really have that experience. I don't have the water cooler thing, but we do have the internet. And so now we have, I'll even have a link to the, of course, there's a r Severance, Apple TV Plus, r/Severance. On Reddit. So there's a whole Reddit channel. And I just skimmed through it earlier today. And there's fan art. I mean, come on. It's got fan art. It's got to be good if it's got fan art, right? I mean, I love that kind of stuff. I told you about my whole experience going to the Breaking Bad Museum. And I just love that stuff. I love it. The people, it brings out the creativity in people. It's such a like a depressing topic where you like have to go to work and you feel severed, right? Or that you've experienced something so traumatic, or there's maybe like an NDA that you have to sign that, you know, maybe wreaks havoc in your life or something, right? But the fact that it's such an unpleasant experience, then seeing people form this cult following around a show that's about cults is just so meta. And you just think it's so nerdy. That's what makes me enjoy it. So I enjoy the creativity that comes out of it. So that's my spiel on Severance. I like it. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. Is there going to be a third series, do you think?
Yes.
There is. It's already been greenlit.
Yep. If you look at
Internet Movie Database, and
they show season 3.
That scares me. I thought that was the case. I wasn't sure if that was true or not, if it was just a rumor the last time I read about it, but that scares me because going into this last season finale, it's like every season finale, of course, or every season episode has had some kind of cliffhanger, of course, because that's the way you do it with television nowadays. But I'm thinking like, oh man, if there's another season 3, I don't know if we're going to get any answers. Like they're going to leave us hanging. And then, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because of the writer strike that it took so long to get this other season out. Do you think? I think that might have been the case, right?
Could be.
So if there's not another writer's strike, maybe we'll get the next series sooner than we got this last one. So fingers crossed for that. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to say about Severance. So for all of you out there who are watching Severance, we'd like to know what you think about it, and we'll tell you how to get in touch with us at the end of the show. Yeah. But before we do that, I wanted to segue into my next topic, which was that I went to the Apple store last night. My husband's been using his school PC, and you know, we were trying to get our taxes done, and I had to make him use the iPad because I don't want our personal stuff on the school PC. And we had an old MacBook Air, really old one, and it wasn't working right. And I just thought, you know what? It's time. It's time for my husband to have a new Mac. And, you know, we couldn't afford a lot. So they have an educational discount going on. Of course, they always do. But right now they have an extra perk where you can get additional cash back or a trade-in value for your devices. And so we just inherited some newer, not new, but newer to us, iPhones for the kids that other family members have upgraded. And so we get their hand-me-downs. And so I've got some iAmazing work to do here. I've got to do some backups and some switcheroos. So it's time to do our hand-me-down switch ups. So I'm going to be doing that. And so, you know, we've got a phone or two that has some value left on it. And right now there's a perk going on that they'll give you additional value. I mean, it's kind of annoying, but I get why they're doing it. Of course, it's advertising. It's their shtick. So you can get an additional, sometimes up to like an additional $50, depending on what device it is and what conditions it's in. It used to be that you could only trade in like a Mac for a new Mac, but now they let you switch up different devices. I mean, you could always get a trade-in and put it on a gift card, which is something you can definitely do instead of, you know, buying a new device and just taking the old device and throwing it in a drawer, which I know a lot of people do. You can actually get some trade-in value for that. But as we've talked about before, the trade-in value is kind of like the stock market. So you really got to check and make sure that the prices are good. And I think we've also talked about other types of places that take trade-ins. What was the other one that you were using? Was it Gazelle?
No, it wasn't Gazelle. Crud. I can see it in my head. It's not coming out.
Yeah, I know which one you mean because I looked at all those too.
But oh, shoot. Declutter.
Declutter, yeah.
Declutter.
I knew you'd get to it if I just kept talking.
Their prices haven't been very good
lately. Yeah, they haven't.
But one thing about trading in, when I finally traded in my father's iMac, which was just more grief than it was worth, they said if I had used that trade-in towards a new Mac, they would have given me more money for it.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about. That's the perk right now. So, and it only lasts until, like, we're recording this, you know, close to the end of March. It only lasts till April 2nd. I think that's the cutoff. So if you've got something and you're thinking about getting a new device, now's the time to do it because they will. They will give you a little bit more for the trade-in versus if you just got it put on an Apple gift card. So that's what I did last night. So I thought, okay, it's time. And so, you know, we've already got a display. We've already got a keyboard. We've already got a mouse. You know, we've already got everything. So here is his new little baby Mac.
Ta-da.
So I got a Mac Mini for him. I just got, you know, the basic one because most everything he does is going to be in the cloud anyway. But what I like about this is it's got so many ports. They're all USB-C, but it's got two on the front. Plus not that we use it much anymore, but it does have a place to plug in headphones or headphones with a microphone. And he has to do videos at home sometimes for meetings for extracurricular stuff that he does outside of school. And then on the back, you've got three more USB ports, and one of them is a Thunderbolt 4. So I believe that's the one I'm probably going to plug the dock into. And then, of course, it's got its HDMI port and Ethernet and the power supply. The power cord, check this out. It's one of the new braided cables. And look at this. I've never seen a plug before that doesn't have the little holes in it. I thought it still had a cover on it. Yep.
And they're the same width. They look at least at this angle. They look like they're the same width.
Yep, same width. So it's not it doesn't have the grounded plug, which is interesting. But yeah, they don't have.
And that looks like a long cord too.
It is. It's very long. It's very long. I don't remember what the spec is on it, but it's nice. You hear that? Do you hear that? It's got the braided. Ugh, ASMR. Welcome to my ASMR channel. I'm going to touch cables for you now. Anyway, it's a nice. I really like what they're doing with their cords lately. I think enough people have complained about the quality of their cords breaking and stuff, and these are really, really nice. Nice braided cable on that. And it is actually a little bit bigger than I thought it was going to be when I saw the picture and the hand holding it. I thought it was going to be a little bit smaller. It does have the power button on the bottom and whatever. Big deal. So what? You got to lift it up and press the power button. At least you don't have to like charge it on the bottom like a mouse. it's expandable. So looking forward to setting that up later today for the hubs. It was really cute last night because I brought it home. I was actually out at the Apple store pretty late last night, and I'm about to tell you why. But anyway, I brought it home, and it's a nice little bag. And so hubby got to do the unboxing this time because this is finally – he hasn't had a brand new Mac in a long, long time. So he's excited about that. And so the reason why I was at the Apple store much later last night, even though I just went to go pick up the little Mac Mini that I ordered – the way that I had done it was I ordered it from my phone while I was in the car because I wasn't sure how it was going to work out if I didn't have the trade-in device with me at the time. I just wasn't sure. So I thought, you know what, let me just process the order. I just did it in the parking lot, which, by the way, I got the first parking spot and that never happened. So I had this really, really great front row, you know, first parking spot at the location where this was at. And I just thought, it must be destiny. I knew I was doing the right thing. Our local Apple store here in Tucson is actually under remodeling right now. So it's just on the second floor of the strip mall that it's in. So I can't wait to see what they do with the store. But it looked pretty much the same. It was nice because it wasn't super, super busy. But because I had ordered the Mac for pickup, I did have to wait for quite a while for them to like get it ready and everything. But of course, that's by design, because then I walked around and I looked at all the devices, and I tried on the headphones, and I looked at all the new phones and everything, and saw got to hold the purple iPhone 16. I wish they made the purple color in the Pro, but they don't. But it is a really nice purple. It's a really nice color. So I walked around the store for a while and I looked at things. I thought of you. You know why? Because on the place where they had the accessories, they had the Hydrate Spark. I think like two versions of it.
Funny you should mention that.
Did you just throw it out or what?
Yes, I did.
That's funny.
I didn't throw out the cup, uh-huh. I threw out the battery because uh-huh. the battery has been freaking out lately.
Really?
It just starts glowing all the time.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, oh, okay, maybe it needs to be charged. So I charge it up and then it just starts flashing and turning colors.
Oh,
and finally I said, you know something? I'm not paying attention to what information is going into the app anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I threw out the battery. And I said to Tom the other day, I said, from now on, when you wash this cup, it can be immersed.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because who cares at this point?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If it shorts out, so what? Huh. I'm not using it as a battery. Yeah. I'm just using it as a cup. So I deleted the app from my phone. The thrill is gone.
It was an experiment.
Yep. Been there, done that. But it's still great as a cup.
Yep. Well, there was only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw that and I laughed and I thought, oh, if only Elisa could see this. Actually, I did take pictures to show you, but didn't want to give you any stress over that. Anyway, so then I'm walking around and finally I got to talk to one of the geniuses that was out on the floor, and I was listening to him talk to another customer, and he seemed really nice and knew what he was talking about. One of the things that I heard him tell this customer was they were talking about the longevity, and you know how we were talking about in the past, like how long our Macs last. I mean, I usually go 4 or 5, sometimes 6 years in between purchases. Around the 4 to 5 year mark, they really start to show their age a little bit. Things start slowing down and you start getting spinning beach balls and things like that. But he had said that the silicon chips now are expected to last like closer to maybe 8 years instead of like 4 or 5, 6 years. So that kind of gave me some hope that they'll last a little bit longer. So it's a better investment. I did look at the new MacBook Airs. I mean, I just got one last year, so not ready for that. I am a little bit envious of the port upgrade that they put on those suckers, but everything else was the same. I did want to see what the new blue looked like, and I'm calling it Severance Blue. That's my conspiracy theory right there. I think that they released that Mac color. That's the only color in the new MacBook Air lineup that they released. It's this light blue. I forget exactly what it's called because it doesn't matter because I'm not going to call it by the real name. It's Severance Blue. It's just a very, very pale, pale blue. I mean, come on. They wouldn't have released any other color. That's my conspiracy theory. I think it's meant to coordinate with the Severance themes of the blue colors because it's a very pale Severance Blue. So I checked that out, and they're very, you know, muted colors except for the black. So I like the black. I checked those out and listened to him, and then we got to talking. And so while I was there, you know, he got my order for me. And so I got my cute little Apple bag and, you know, my little Mac Mini was all paid for. One of the things that I asked him, so when you order something and then you go to pick it up, of course, you have to show your driver's license, your photo ID. And I got excited about that because I just helped a client set hers up and get hers in her phone. And so it was fresh on my mind. And I asked him, I said, well, here, I have my physical card, but can I ask you something? And I whipped out my Apple Wallet and showed my Arizona digital driver's license. And I said, can I use this to verify identity? He's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And so, in fact, he was excited because I don't think his device or whatever gizmo he was using had quite been set up for it. So he had to just, you know, set it up. And so he had been, I guess he just didn't get that question very often or something. I don't know. Not enough people know about putting your driver's license in your phone yet. And there's really only a handful of states that do it. And so I was like, sure, I'll be your beta tester. And so that was pretty cool. So I got to boop my iPhone and use my digital driver's license for the first time. So that was cool. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, it didn't show me anything, but on his device, he showed me what it looked like. And what's really cool is my driver's license, I have the, I guess it's the real ID with the star on it. My driver's license picture is black and white, but on his device, everything shows in color. So I thought that was pretty cool. So we got to experience that. And then we got to talking about Apple for Businesses. And I've been thinking about it for quite a while, but I just didn't think, you know, I'm just one person and I don't have like all the certifications and everything. And so, he said something, we got into a conversation about what I do, and I showed him my business card, and, you know, he loved the Mac Mommy moniker. And so he said, are you enrolled in our Apple Business? And I told him no. And I told him why I thought that, you know, it wasn't for me. And he said, no, he said businesses of all sizes. And then he brought over the business consultant. So I talked with him, and it's been something that I've been curious about for quite a while, and I wanted to learn more about it. And so finally I took the opportunity to do it last night. So I'm happy that I did. And so, you know, I got the welcome, you know, packet. And so I'm reading through all of that stuff. My tiny little business is now registered as a business with Apple. So excited about that.
What does that give you?
Just like access to resources. There isn't necessarily a discount, but you can get credit over time. So I do kind of wish I would have done it years ago. But as you buy things, I guess you build up some kind of a credit for points for accessory, not points. That's not really the right word, but, you know, for accessorizing. And there's just like business type of perks for being registered. I could register my location, but I don't really do business, you know, at my home with clients. I work remotely. So it's not like I want people coming here like, oh, there she is on the map. But I might be able to register my business like on Apple Maps as like, you know, something that could be looked up. I just don't know if I have to divulge my actual address. So maybe someday I'll get a PO box or something. It's an expense I don't really need right now. So we had this really nice discussion about Apple for Business. And then I happened to see, you know, he was pointing out different things. And then he said something about the Apple Vision Pro. And there was two of them on the table and display. And I said, I've always wanted to demo one of those. They look so cool. And he's like, oh, well, would you like to have a demo now? And I was like, get out, really? I thought you had to make an appointment and everything. And you probably did. It wasn't that busy. So I got to have a, like in Severance, there's a music dance experience. I got to have the Vision Pro music dance experience. And I attended a free Metallica concert. And that was really, really cool. I mean, it was amazing. I won't lie. When I left there, I actually felt a little disoriented, not like in an unhealthy way, just more of like a blown away kind of disorientation. Like I just didn't want it to end, of course. But it was really cool. I don't want to give away any spoilers. That was one of the demos that was on there. And there's probably going to be, you know, different ones. They use special cameras to record things. It was just really, really cool. I can't say too much about it because I did promise not to give away any spoilers. But let me just say, when they say it's immersive, it's incredibly immersive. Some of the expectations I had going into it, I wasn't sure how comfortable it was going to be because my neck is in pain a lot of times. And, I was afraid it was going to, you know, have too much weight on my head. So yeah, it was an amazing experience, and I recommend that you go check it out if you're the least bit curious. Of course, I can't really justify the cost of it for myself, but if I won the lottery, I would totally run out and buy one. Absolutely.
Was it 3,500?
I think so. I think that's like the
base
price.
Is that what
price.
It is, 35?
Yeah, it's around $3,500. But see, the thing is, like, I wear trifocals. So if you wear glasses at all, then you've got to have the lenses. I mean, it was a very like white glove type of experience. I felt like I was being treated like with white glove kind of care. It was pretty like, you know, haughty toddy. At least it felt that way for me because, you know, they sit you down and he gives you like a lesson on how to do the gestures and kind of tells you like what to expect. And then when they bring it out, there's like another assistant that goes and gets it and like they bring it out on a tray. Like they're serving it to you in a way because they have to get the right kind of lenses to, there's like lens inserts, I guess, that get put in there. And I actually had with me in my phone, in my Files app, a scan of my vision prescription, which I still need to get new glasses. So I'm actually due for an eye exam. So I'm going to wait until that point. But so he was like, do you have any idea like what your, you know, there's numbers and stuff for your lenses. And I said, well, actually, I do have a copy of that. So they were able to punch that in there. So that was cool. So if you are going to go and you wear glasses, definitely make sure you take your eyeglasses prescription in so that you can tell them whatever the rating is of your lenses or something, because that was important to know. And then, you put it on your face, kind of like a scuba mask, and you pull the strap over your head. And then there's two little Velcro straps where you tighten it. It didn't feel too, I was afraid it was going to feel too heavy because of my neck pain, like I said, but the only discomfort that I experienced was like right at, I have really high cheekbones and that could be why, but right at my cheekbones, it started to feel just a little bit painful, but I just think that's because, you know, it was just a demonstration and at home, I'm sure I could make better adjustments to it to get a better feel. But yeah, when you look at someone, you can see them through it. It's neat the way it kind of is almost like a fog that clears in a way when you focus on something. But you look at things with your eyes and it somehow detects what you're looking at. And then you just go like this, or you go like this, or you go like this. I so badly want to tell you what exactly I saw, but I really can't. I shouldn't, because I don't want to spoil it, but it was really amazing what I saw. And I definitely encourage anybody to go check it out. Anybody who's interested in this kind of stuff at all, I think it was really, really an amazing experience. And I can see how people could justify it. I could see this being used as a medical device for therapy. I could certainly use it for therapy. I mean, there's definitely some therapeutic applications that I could apply. I always joke about ASMR, but I love ASMR. Could totally watch immersive ASMR videos that would be designed for that. And I would love to see that kind of content created for it. So, yeah, you don't have any interest in it, I suspect, but
nope.
You don't even want to like try it and just see what the hubbaloo is about now.
Mm. Nope, not at all.
It's pretty cool, I have to say. Bit of a fangirl over here. Yeah, well, so that was my Vision Pro music dance experience and didn't do any dancing, but boy, if I could have, I would have. It would have been really, really cool.
I'm at the get off my lawn stage, you know, stage of my life. Like, get off my lawn, go away.
Yeah, well, that's why you would love it, because you could just strap that thing to your face and just ignore the whole world around you. I even said, I was like, why would anybody ever leave the house if they put this on? I mean, talk about people not wanting to people. This would, you know, really encourage that. So that's the only downside of it. I can see how people would be really kind of cut off from the world if they had that on, you know, in their house all the time. I mean, yeah, I just, that's all I would ever want to do. So, yeah. Mm. When you're too old and decrepit to go to concerts, you might think otherwise.
Oh, I don't know if that day will ever happen. I mean, I bought tickets today, so.
Yeah. That's what'll keep you young.
Got another concert today.
Nice.
Though I did want to get concert tickets for Def Leppard.
Oh, yeah, but hubby doesn't like that one.
Yeah, hubby said no. And they were $158. Mm. And I said,
a piece?
No. Yes. Mm. I said, no.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show. I haven't seen them since 2018. Huh. Brett Michaels is opening.
Oh, so really?
It's going to be a good show.
And your boyfriends?
We compromised, and okay, we're going to sit out. If it's a nice day, or a nice evening, we're going to sit outside the gate because if you look through the gate, you can see the big screen.
Okay, okay.
And you can still hear it.
Okay.
I said, okay, we'll do that.
There
said,
you go.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yep, so we'll do that.
Good compromise.
Yep.
That's
so we'll do that.
That's the secret to a long marriage, huh?
Even though he's kind of like, oh. I like it loud. He likes it quiet. I like it loud. He likes it quiet.
But you like being together, and that's the most important part.
But do we?
Well, then, you know, if you don't, there's always severance. And we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Melissa.
Yes.
If people want to tell me how wrong I am for not liking severance, how would they do so?
That's Melissa D to you. Oh, we have a variety of ways to make you talk.
I know. That's so weird. That is just so weird. That's another, like, anyway.
Yeah.
Tell me, Melissa D.
Elisa P. We have a variety of ways, as I said, and we have our website, which is geekiestshowever.com. There's a good old fashioned contact form on there you can click, and that'll send us an email. Or if you don't want to do that, I mean, you should do that because I'm going to have show notes. Come on. You at least got to go visit the website for that. But then you can also email us. Our email address is podcast@geekiestshowever.com. And then we are social beings, so where are we on socials?
At Geekiest Show on Blue Sky and Mastodon, themacmommy.com for all things Melissa. We are on basically Blue Sky and Mastodon, and like I've said before, I don't go on Mastodon. So
yeah, but you don't need to because it's federated, something. So I think it all links up
eventually.
Yeah,
so yeah. And I'm on Blue Sky at Sensei Dai. And if you forget all that, it's on our show notes page at, like Melissa said, geekiestshowever.com. So you can find everything you need to know about us on that website. So once again, we want to say thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a few weeks. And until then, please stay safe.